was one of those people that, you know, beat you over the head and said, that is demonic, stay away from it. So I apologize. But actually, the biggest issue is that we haven't been taught about discernment. We've taught discernment, we were taught discernment in our head. This is what discernment is. This is all bad, and this is okay. And that was called discernment, which was completely in the tree of knowledge. And actually, when the Holy Spirit took my hand and he said, I want to teach you discernment, he took me all the places I wouldn't have dreamed of going. And he took me there and he said, I want you to go in and I want you to feel what happens in your spirit. So I went in as a learning exercise. I went into all those shops. I went into the dark places. And I waited to see what happened in my spirit. And I was like, whoa, this does not feel good. My spirit does not like it here. But this is what this feels like. And this is what this feels like. And so I taught myself discernment just because actually, how else do you learn but take the hand of Holy Spirit? But he is the most phenomenal teacher. And I want to tell you that he is a kind teacher. And he is a gentle teacher. And he is a loving teacher. And he will open up realms for you at your perfect pace. He is not going to force you to go faster than you're able to go. And actually, I was talking to somebody who I won't mention who it was, but I just want to mention this because I think some of this is coming for some of you guys. And I just want you to know that when you have an encounter with the spirit of the awe of the Lord, it is terrifying.
Come on.
It is not evil, obviously, but it is terrifying. And from that encounter, I got my ducks in a row. I cleaned out my house. Because actually what you recognize is he means business. And actually what we've been talking about a lot is his grace and his love and his peace and his rest and all of that is absolutely necessary. But we need to know the awe. The fear of the Lord. And half of the reason is because when you have that encounter and you know he is on your side, it is life-changing. Because you are so terrified, you do not want to move a hair on your head in case you become crisp. But when you're holding his hand and you're going into places that your life is in danger and he's on your side, it is a whole different ballgame. So that is why we need to have the encounter with him. We need to know that persona of who he is. Because that persona jolts us out of complacency. It gets us into a place of readiness. And it brings us into an understanding of how powerful he truly is. And then when we need the miraculous, it is easy to step into because you know who he is. Do you know that when we know who we are, we become unstoppable? All of us want to be unstoppable. When we know who we are unstoppable. I am unstoppable. And you know what I say? I say, if you are getting in my way and I have a mandate to move forward, you better know how to swim. Because I'm going to cast you in the sea. Because you have no right to get in my way. Because my dad has given me a mandate and we're moving forward. So, I'm also going to tell you something that's not the most popular message. But I feel like it's really relevant for some of you. And one of the things that the Lord has had me do through my seasons has been intentional pruning. And what he says is, I want you to prune everything that's holding you back. Okay? And we come into that place where there are people or things or circumstances or whatever it is, and we've camped, and we've allowed the anchors to go down and the roots to grow in, and actually suddenly we're not moving forward anymore. And we try and move, and we've got all these relationships that are pulling us back, and that heart-wrenchingness of, I want to stay connected with you, but I'm due over there, and you're trying to hold me over here. And actually, you've got to make a decision. You're either going to camp, or you're going to move forward. But making no decision is a decision to camp, because no decision will keep you in that place. So I pick up the sword, and I start to chop. And I say, guys, that's where I'm going. You can come with me, or you can stay behind. But that is where I'm going, and that is not negotiable for me. I know that very often in kingdom, that doesn't sound like a kingdom thing. But what I want to tell you is that when we are all part of our Father's business, we don't have to be in the same department all the time. Sometimes we get transferred to a different department, but we're still in Daddy's business. But we're taught that I'm in this church, and you're my whatever, and we are going to be together, come thick or thin, whatever, and that's how it's going to be. Now, I want to tell you, you don't run from relationships because they get hard. That is not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, you move out of relationship when that relationship starts to pull you back. And we are called to walk with people for a season, and we're called to walk with people eternally. And sometimes we walk for a season, our paths diverge, and then we come back again. And actually, however he wants to do it, let's be okay with it. Because that's what kingdom looks like. And I am an intensely relational person. And I would love to think that I make relationships forever. But it isn't about walking like this forever. There are going to be seasons when we walk together, and there are going to be seasons when we don't. But we can do relationship, and we can love each other, and we can be there for each other, and we can bless each other, and we can empower each other without having this whole thing that's pulling us back. Do you understand? Okay, so there's one other thing I want us to just look at. I'm going to do an identity activation in a minute. But one of the things that he's really been challenging me on recently is the allowing the connectivity that exists with people for us to be there, for our ceiling to be their floor. I'm going to try and explain that to you. Okay, so I have been on an incredibly interesting journey around leadership. I've never been on church leadership or anything like that. I have no idea about leading people other than holding Holy Spirit's hand and saying, teach me. Okay. Now, what he's been teaching me is that there are godly ways to do things, and there are ungodly ways to do things. And when we do things in an ungodly manner, there are consequences. Okay. I totally understand that for my life. What I am pressing in for is for me to actually say to the Father, when you do something that impacts me, I want to be able to go to the Father from a place of relationship and say, can you spare them the consequence of that? I can see that this has happened and the consequence should be this. But I'm asking you to spare that consequence to them so that my ceiling becomes their floor. Now, I know that some of you will get that and some of you won't get it. If you don't get it, just let it pass over the top of your head. If you get it, take hold of it. But there's a way in which he's calling us to lead people that is unprecedented. Because as a leader, our job is to pick up the pieces and do all the things that nobody else wants to do. Because as a leader, we are called to empower the people we lead. So we're called to walk behind them and enable them and equip them and release them and bless them, knowing that they're probably going to fall over and scrape their knee. And that's okay. We're going to pick them up and we're going to kiss them better and we're going to love them and we're going to tell them they're awesome and we're going to release them again. That's what kingdom leadership looks like, because that's what the Father does for us. And as sons, he's looking for a generation of people who will lead that way. We've had leadership modeled so badly. And yeah, me, I was one of those people. And I am asking the Father to show me how to be the best possible leader I can be. And I know that that is going to transform everything for the people that I work with. Because actually, my heart is to see who you are, enable and equip who you are, and release you. Now, I also know that one of the first things I do is I pray that the Father will not release anybody beyond their character. Okay? Because that's always been my prayer. Father, do not release me beyond my character. Because by faith we can take the things over there and pull them into here and walk into them. Because we can. And we become our own worst nightmare. Because we can't handle those things. And so we fall over. So what I want to see is I want to see a generation of people arise that lead with the heart of the Father, that enable people and love people and see people's issues, but mine for the gold. You know, everybody can see the issues in people. We're not something special because we can see all their failings. We're something special when we can find the gold and we can pull the gold out. And we can dust it all off because they've been made to feel totally useless. But that gold nugget is there. And then we empower and equip and enable and release, because that's who he's called us to be. So I just wanted to put that out there, because many of you are about to step into a whole new arena of leadership. And you're probably going to need to ask him to completely deprogram your thought processes and enable him to reprogram you according to the blueprint of heaven for what leadership looks like for sons. Okay, now we're going to do an identity memory release exercise, and I'm going to ask Kay and Bon, because we're going to do some stuff with some oils. So they're going to come round and they're going to give you a drop of oil in the palm of your hand. I want you to take your finger and I want you to rub the oil clockwise in your finger. Okay? And we do that because that coincides with the DNA, how the DNA functions within us. Okay? So we're going to rub it like that. Okay. So we're going to rub it and we're going to cup our hands and we're going to smell it. Okay, so okay, so one of the reasons why I love working with essential oils is because it unlocks things that actually you can't get to otherwise, especially with men. Oh my goodness, this is the most powerful tool to use with men. Because men have so systematically closed down their emotional functionality. And the thing about essential oils is that it doesn't go via the intellect. It goes via the limbic system. And it goes straight into the emotional brain. And so just like that, things can get unlocked with men. When you can't get there and you can't, and you've tried everything and you're trying to get this way and you're trying to get this way and they've so successfully closed down every possible avenue, you bring out the oils and bam, done. So it's definitely a little secret weapon when you're ministering to men. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to look at something about ourselves that we don't like. Because he wants to unlock that and change that. So I want you to look at that thing that you don't like. I want you to breathe in the oil as you think about that thing. Okay? So stick your nose right over, stick your hands right over your nose. Have a good old whiff. I'm waiting for all the guys to get their oil, but you just keep whiffing. Yeah? It's a blend of stress away, lavender, frankincense. In equal measures. Sorry? Stress away is a Young Living blend. Okay, so what I want you to do is I want you to, as you're breathing that in, I want you to think about that thing that you don't like about yourself. So what we're going to do is we're going to reprogram and rewire. And I want you to rate from 0 to 10 the likelihood of that ever being different. So some of you may have tried to change that character before, and so you're really thinking, oh, I've tried, I can't be different. Now I want you to listen to the negative voice in your head that tells you why you are that person. Keep breathing in the oil. What is that negative voice saying to you? I want you to identify how you feel when you hear that negative voice. I want you to place your hand on the part of your body where that negative feeling lives. Now I want you to take Holy Spirit's hand and let him travel back with you to a memory of when you felt you became that person. I want you to make a decision that you do not want to be that person anymore. Remember, he's going to do it. So what you're saying is, Father, I don't want to be that person anymore. As you smell that oil, I want you to let go of any grudges or hurts around that memory. And I want, as you let go of the grudges and the hurts, I want you to look at the memory and see what happens. As you let go, I want you to allow a new image to arise. So Holy Spirit wants to shift that. Realize you don't need to be that person anymore. He's showing you something different. So engage with that different thing he's showing you. We're activating our intention and our will. We're opening up our DNA to be rewired. As our DNA opens and the activity of our thought process, a substance is created. Allow that substance to impact your identity. Listen to the voice of Holy Spirit. He is speaking your true identity. You came into agreement with that false identity because of something that happened, and you believed a lie. Let go of the lie. Now I want you to allow him to whisper in your ear an affirmation of who you are. Now I want you to engage with that statement he's made about you. I want you to choose to believe it. You're going to come into agreement with it. And I want you to keep saying that statement of who you are that he's told you in your head over and over and over. Because a rewiring is beginning to take place. I want you to keep saying that statement over and over while smelling that oil. And now I want you to look at the likelihood of you being different. So I want you to rate from 0 to 10. The likelihood of you being different. How many of you have moved from thinking it's impossible to starting to believe it's possible? Can you just put your hands up? Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, we're not finished yet, guys, because now you've just taken the first step. The first step is I believe it can be different. Okay? Now what I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask you to keep engaging with that statement that he's making over you until you believe it as a truth. Because you've just got it as a, you've got it as a possible now. Actually, something could change. But I want you to keep rewiring until it is your truth. And from that place of it being your truth, you will function in that statement. That statement is who you are. So keep saying that until you know that that is who you are. Okay, now I'm going to ask you to put your hand up if you know that something, that you are different. How awesome is our God? How awesome. Thank you, Father. You are such a good, good dad. Guys, do you see how easy this is? Do you see why I think oils are just the most phenomenal thing? Because when we allow him to use those oils to unlock lies and rewire truths, in an instant we're changed. In an instant. Now, I'm going to give you some homework. Every day for the next 30 days, I want you to look in the mirror and I want you to speak that reality over yourself. Because that will completely bed it in to who you are. It took me about 6 months of standing in front of the mirror every day, telling myself, you are awesome and you are unstoppable. And I am. But we just have to be that tenacious. And I want to apologize on behalf of every leader that has ever put you down, shut you down, and robbed you of your tenacity. I am so sorry that that was done to you. But it is a new day. And the tenacious will take the kingdom by force. It is absolutely true. And the tenacious make opportunities where there are no opportunities. So, I have, in all regards, become British. Except for one. In fact, it was probably about 7 or 8 years ago, somebody told me that I was the quintessential English lady. And then I realized I had arrived. But the one area that I have always resisted is that whole polite thing. So I think you guys were brought up that you don't take the last biscuit from the plate. Is that right? And actually, that works really well for me because there's always a biscuit for me. Can I tell you that in a world of eternal supply, we do not have to be polite? We only have to be polite if it is really the last biscuit. But you see, it isn't. Because as soon as the plate is empty, the angels arrive and they fill it up again. But the angels don't come because nobody takes the last biscuit. I want to encourage you. Be a people who eat the last biscuit. Because there's a tenacity about that. There's a thing that says, I can't be hanging around while we're all politely wondering what's happening next. Let's just push that door open and see. Because that's what the kingdom looks like. Do you know that it's much easier for him to redirect you when you're going somewhere? The biggest lie is I'm waiting for instruction. So let's just dispose of that one. I'm waiting for instruction means He hasn't met my requirements yet. He hasn't told me how he's going to pay the bills. He hasn't told me where I'm going to live. He hasn't told me what I'm going to do. And therefore, until such time as he delivers a proposal that is agreeable to me, we won't be moving forward. Now, I just want to explain to you that when you are the Lord God Almighty, you don't have to pass your proposals. What he's saying is, I have put some desires in your heart. When are you going to start doing something? Start to do something, and he will direct you or redirect you or shift you or connect you or enable you and equip you and all the rest. But do something. I know a lady, it breaks my heart. She actually has the most amazing healing anointing, or it is just amazing. And I knew her 20 years ago. And 20 years ago, I was like, oh my goodness, this woman. And we were in church together, and her thing was, I'm waiting for the Lord to tell me what to do. She is still waiting. I've got healed and restored and gone out to the nations and conquered the heavens and going here and going there, and she's still waiting. Guys, please don't let that be you. Do something. If you have a heart for mission, get on a mission trip. If you have a heart for the homeless, feed the homeless. You do not need anybody's permission to go out on the streets and be about your Father's business. You see, if it fits within the Great Commission, he's already commissioned you. You don't need another invitation. For a long time, I said to the Lord, I'm ready, just show me my tribe. And for about 3 years, there was silence. And one day, I said to him, are you listening to me? He said, oh yeah, I'm listening to you. He said, your tribe doesn't exist yet, because you're going to start it. So if you're sitting there thinking, show me my tribe, do something. Be relational. Start from a place of relationship. You know, can I be brutally honest here? If tomorrow we were all made redundant, we would have to find a way to generate some income if that was going to be your choice. You would not sit around waiting for a job to knock on your door and say, I'm here. You'd get out there and you'd find something. Let's attach some urgency to the kingdom. Let's recognize that those people that are out there broken and dying and hungry, and they are part of us. Come on. We have a responsibility for them. We can't just turn the television off or drive past because we can't bear what we're seeing. We have a responsibility. And we've done a good job of desensitizing ourselves because it hurts too much. It hurts too much to feel the pain. But Jesus feels that pain every day. And he feels all of the pain. We just see that little glimpse of what he's showing us. It is time, guys. It is time to restore all things. It is time to get up off the seat and say, I am responsible. You know, don't know if you guys have ever read the Rhys Howells book, The Intercessor, life-changing book. And it was amazing. You know, he worked all day and then he ministered at night. And one night he walked across the moors to go and visit, to go and minister to a man who was dying with five children. And he prayed for a couple of hours and he was on his way home. And the Lord said to him, are you done with that man? He said, well, yes, I've done whatever I'm supposed to do. And the Lord said, if that man dies, you're responsible for his children. He turned around. And he went back and he prayed until that man got out of his bed. We have a responsibility and we cannot just pretend it isn't happening. So one side of the coin is the responsibility. The other side of the coin is the reward. Guys, what are you doing with your life? In the context of the kingdom, with the God who wants to meet all your needs, pay all your bills, do everything, have an abundant supply of everything you need, if you are still choosing to go to work and come home too exhausted and whatever, how are you investing this one life that you have? This is not a dress rehearsal. We have one life. And in that one life, we get to deposit in our heavenly bank account. We get to store up for ourselves treasure in heaven. Once you start to make deposits into that bank account, you can actually withdraw them in this lifetime. Do you know that expression, money doesn't grow on trees? It's a lie. I have been in the orchard in heaven and picked money off the trees. And the next day it was in my bank account. Well, not my bank account, the bank account for the ministry. Because we needed it. I was like, Father, you've got some bills to pay. There is a whole way in which he is going to meet our needs that is outside our expectation. If he can put money in the mouth of a fish, he has a printing press in heaven and it does every currency. See, we like to pay the bills when they first come through the door. He waits for the demand, the final demand. He pays on red. That's how he works. And actually, I know lots of people who work like that because their principle is, I want the money in my bank account for as long as possible because I'm earning interest. So when I absolutely have to pay it, I'll pay the bill. We want the Lord to pay the money up front 6 months in advance. He's like, no, sorry, my principles don't work like that. But he is going to pay the bills. He is going to feed you and he's going to clothe you and he's going to house you and he's going to provide for you. If you will choose to trust him. And he is going to shake every single area in your life where you trust something else. Because that's how we learn to trust him. So he'll look at your finances, and he'll look at your health, and he'll look at your children, and he'll look at everything. Everything. Really early on, the Lord told me the safest thing that you can do is take everything that's precious and put it in my hands. He said, because the enemy can take everything out of your hand, but he can only get what I give him. And if I give it to him, there's nothing you can do about it anyway. So the safest thing that we can do is take everything and put it in the Father's hands. Take our marriage, our children, our health, our finances, because all those things will be challenged. All those things will come as a threat. One of the health adventures I went on recently, May last year, I knew it was coming. I knew something was coming. I just didn't know what was coming. And I was actually in South Africa on holiday, and I suddenly felt unwell from nowhere. And my brother said, oh, let me just check your blood pressure. I never have problems with my blood pressure. Let me just check your blood pressure. And so it was 240 over 180. So he's like, I'm taking you straight to the hospital. So off we go to the hospital. And they start to pump me with drugs. And they could not budge this blood pressure. And what they were saying to me was, you're either going to have a stroke or you're going to have a heart attack. Every doctor that came in there, every nurse. And I have a choice. I can believe that or I can take hold of my Father's hand. And for 24 hours, I felt like the whole of hell was released against me. And I just had these voices coming at me. And for 24 hours, I just kept on saying, Father, I trust you. That is all I could do. I didn't sleep. I did nothing. I just kept saying, Father, I trust you. Father, I trust you. Father, I trust you for 24 hours. And it lifted like that. And nobody's ever found the cause of it. I know what it was. It was the Father saying, let's look at this again. Let's look at this whole health arena. Do you trust me? See, I had just spent a week with my father-in-law who had had a stroke. And that was a very real thing to me, to watch somebody in a wheelchair who can hardly feed himself. And I'd looked at death when I had the breast cancer, and that was okay. But now I was looking at invalid life. What does that look like? Is that your plan for me, Father? I can't see that that's your plan. But actually, at this point in time, I don't know what's going on. And my strategy is, Father, I trust you. Because I know that he is a good, good dad. And I know that whatever he's got planned, he has a plan of redemption. So there is some shaking that is coming, guys. And it is all good. It is all good. A little strategy for you. You may want to adopt this catchphrase. It is good with my soul. And actually, when somebody says, how are you doing? You want to have some level of integrity in what you're saying. But you don't need a pity party. And all you need to say is, it is well with my soul. That's what David said all the time. It is well with my soul. And it tells your soul, you ain't the boss here, mate. What time do we... 8:45. Okay. Okay, so what we're going to do now is we're going to pop back to that activation that we were going to do about color. Yeah? Because I know that we need to do that. So just before we do that, I want to show you this thing, which is just awesome. So it's the slide that's got the... it's slide 74. Okay, so... this isn't on. Sorry. Okay, so I'm going to read this. It'll pop up in a minute, but what I'm going to read is comes out of sciencealert.com, and it says, scientists clear Alzheimer's from mice using only light and sound. Okay, so that was the 15th of March, 2019. Guys, if you start to look at the various forums where they're kind of pressing in for alternative stuff, you are going to see stuff published weekly. So yesterday, what I saw published is that Israeli scientists are running a trial where they freeze cancer tumors. They freeze them. It leaves all the other cells completely unaffected. And your body then processes the dead cells. The breakthroughs that are taking place weekly around all sorts of health stuff is phenomenal. And it is so encouraging when you start to actually just see what's happening out there. Okay, so we're going to do two activations. The first one is the color one. So that was the prism. So what I want you to do, we looked at how powerful thought is. Do you remember? We looked at the whole thinking process. Okay. So what I've discovered is that it is equally powerful to create that color in your imagination. It's as powerful to do that as it is to actually sit in the color. Okay. So here's a little key for you as well. A friend of mine told me this. She tried it out. So blue is antiseptic. Okay? So you go into an environment where everyone's coughing and sneezing and whatever, and you don't really fancy catching allergy. What you do is you just create a blue zone around you. I mean, how easy is this, guys? How easy is it? Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to have an activation around color. So I'm going to ask you to ask the Father if you are color deficient in any color. Okay? Just ask him which color it is. Now what I want you to do is I want you to visualize that color. So I want you to close your eyes And I want you to see that color. And I want you to pull that color into your body. Then ask the Holy Spirit where that color needs to go. And then direct that color there with your intention. Just stay in that place. We're going to move into another activation. So stay in that place of engaging your spirit. And you know the Bible says that He sings over us. Do you know that when He sings over us, He resets our frequency? That's why He sings over us. So I'm going to ask you to visualize climbing up onto His lap. And I want you to visualize Him hugging you. I want you to feel that hug. And He wants to sing a lullaby over you. So hear that lullaby. Feel the frequency of that lullaby in your body.
Leave you.
you, Jesus. Guys, you're amazing. Just keep letting him see. If you could just see what I can see. The recalibration that is taking place right now. Man, he's just washing away judgment. So much judgment that's come against you, he's washing it away. He is washing it away. And he's saying, you're perfect. You're perfect. Goodness, you guys are awesome. Just go with the recalibration. You can feel it. Some of you can feel it deep, deep on the inside. Just go with it. Just go with it. There is a level of love that comes when he sings over us. That is, you just don't find it somewhere else. That deep protector, that deep acceptance and just that father-child thing that happens when he sings over us. As you're in that place, connecting with him, I want you to recognize that if you never moved from here or did another thing, he wouldn't love you anymore. He couldn't possibly love you anymore. Because he adores you. So just dispose of all the I shoulds. And let him motivate you by his love. Let whatever it is that you are going to choose to do be motivated by his love. Because he's put that desire within you, and you love him.